We thank our sponsors for the month of learning, 5minutesoftorah.com. And we thank our weekly sponsor, Alan and Rachel Kluger, in memory of Barry Kluger and Max Kluger and Robbie Schoenfeld, whose yard sites are mostly in the area, in the vicinity. So we learn Lila Nishmasam. So we're heavy in the Kiddush HaChodesh Sugyas still, but in that sense, Chabura today will be off topic, because we want to do Aseret HaDaf. So we'll start, we'll do Yid Aleph Mem Aleph, which is what we're holding. Sorry, one second. Missing sheets, one second. Just want to say the right things. Okay. So the beginning of Yud Aleph Mem Aleph, coming over from Yud Amud Beis, so we have the din of Ein Ma'avrin Ela B'Mizumanim. The people who are going to be Ma'avrin the Shana, so there has to be a group that's, literally invited, appointed, designated to be the group of people who are going to be Ma'avrin the Shana. And then we have this Meister of the Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel said, Hashkimu li shibal aliyah. Get seven people. He wanted seven altogether. So either he meant, this is what the Marsha struggled with, right? He wanted either seven, and he meant seven others, or seven including himself, and that was the mix-up, that someone invited seven, and ended up being eight, which is ironic, because he was the extra one according to that. Hishkim Matsashmona. He got up, and he went, and he found the Ray people there. Amar, Mihu Sha'ala Shalabashis, who's the one who came up here, Shalabashis? Yay, Ray, go down. Amat Shmuel Katan Amar, Aniu Sha'alisi Shalabashis, it was me. Vola Abra Ashana Alisi, El Lomot Halach Lemaisa, Hutzrachli. I just wanted to watch, I wanted to get Shimush. Okay, so that's a limud. Amarlo, Shave B'nei Shave. Sit. Ruyos Kol Ashanam Kulam Lazabra Yadcha, you're Roy for all the Abra Ashanam in the world. It's a din that you're not allowed to be ma'aber without, unless it's the mizumanim, and that was why I was asking. It wasn't actually him. Yeah. So what's pshat with Rav Gamliel? I mean, you get Shmuel Katan's again. Yesh ladon whether I saw that. I remember this from Chavetz Chaim. I thought in the Chavetz Chaim, maybe Nick will fill us in or Willie, because Nick's not here today. I thought the Chavetz Chaim quotes this as Ikar Din, that if someone's going to be embarrassed, you have to jump in and save them from embarrassment. I think even at the risk of your own embarrassment, which is what the case was here. I thought the Chavetz Chaim quotes that as Ikar Din from a Sefer Chassidim. And it could be the other people quoted this also, but whoever it was, maybe the Nimus Netzach, someone on the page who mentioned this concept. So he said, it's not really Mikar Din. You have to look. I thought the Chavetz Chaim thinks it is Mikar Din. Either way, what's Pshat there? Rav Gamliel, Shmuel Katan, whether it's Lifnim Mishur Sedin, whether it's Halach L'Maisa, you understand, it's good midas to save someone else from embarrassment. What's Rav Gamliel doing, telling the guy that whoever came up here, Shalob Rishush, should be Yored? So according to some of Rishonim, the kasha is softened, it's lessened. If you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, so Rabbeinu Yonah assumes that Rav Gamliel knew very well who had been invited and who had not been invited. Because the din is, after all, that the Nasi has to invite people to do the Ibra HaChodesh. So he knew who was invited and who was not invited. Okay, the Mashmas and the Gemara might be a little different just because it sounds like he told the Shliach to do it, and there's definitely room for there to have been a mix-up, but it's also possible that he gave the Shliach a list, invite Kamsa and six other people, and they should be the seven. So he knew who it was, and that's what it sounds like in the Rambam also. If you look in Kiddush HaChodesh Dal Tes, it does look like the Rambam assumes that the Nasi knows, because then it sounds like from the Rambam the Nasi has to be the one who invites them. So then what happened here? So the Ran explains, the Ran writes, in one of his dais, the Ran writes that he knew exactly who was Mizuman, who was not Mizuman. And the reason why he said whoever it was that came up here, Shalom Rishuz, should leave, is because what would have been more embarrassing? More embarrassing would have been, you, get out. Like the guy who took the picture in the middle of the big gathering. You can ask Morel about the story later. That's very embarrassing, to point to the one person who made the mistake and kick him out of the room. That's very embarrassing. But to just say, whoever it was, if you could excuse yourself, you know, I guess it was more similar to that, actually. Misha tzilem sheyetze. So if you don't single him out, so then that's less embarrassing. So adraba, you still have to wonder, but adraba, Rangel was lessening the blow of the embarrassment. And Shmuel was okay. Shmuel was saying, no, I don't want him to get embarrassed at all, so I'll get up and walk out and everyone will follow me. Yeah, but the Ran has a different teretz here also, that really Rangel didn't know who was Mezuman, who was not Mezuman, because he had a shliach. He had someone in between an in-between party who invited them, and he had no idea who was the extra guy. So, if so, Tzarachin. Why wasn't he worried about Halpanis Panim? Only Shmuel Katan was worried about Halpanis Panim, Rav Gamliel wasn't worried. So, when I originally learned this Gemara, I thought maybe, I'm not saying it in an academic way, I'm saying it in a serious way, with shitas, maybe this is Rav Gamliel Shitaso. Rav Gamliel, we know from the Gemara in Brachas, we're going to see on this staff. We're going to see Rav Gamliel was a takif. Why was he a takif? Because he held Yikov Adin Sahar to the extent that if Amita Shel Torah was being impinged upon, if for some reason someone thought the din was different, and he thought, you know, in his mind correctly, that that person was wrong, so then at all costs, you have to make sure that that person knows that he's incorrect. And at all costs, you have to make sure that that person makes it clear to everyone else that he was incorrect, and the halacha is such. That's why the Maisa in Brachos, the famous Maisa, that he was. I think the Gemara's Lashon is, I don't remember this, he was Mitzayer, Rabbi Yeshua? I forgot, if the Lashon even the Gemara is that way. But that is certainly what he did, he was Mitzayer. He calls Rabbi Yeshua, again, I don't think the Gemara says there was Kisufa, but it's hard to imagine that Rabbi Yeshua, when everyone knew that he passed in one way, and Rabbi Gamliel passed another way, and he had to walk across town with his staff in his hand on Yom Kippur, I assume it was a little embarrassing for him. I assume it wasn't so pashut. Elamai, Rabbi Gamliel held that in order to make sure that that the Amita Shel Torah comes across, that people should know what the halacha is, whether you're the person who made the mistake, or whether you're the person watching and learning from this mistake and its correction, so you, at the cost of embarrassment, at the cost of Halbanus Panim, yeah. Halbanus Panim is nidche, to make sure how, you know, Amita Shel Torah is expressed. It's not the same, but a mashal. We had earlier, I don't remember, Bezman Bez or Gimel Bez, we had Rabbi Abba who was Megadeh Behu, right? By the bad Svara about how many Dayanim should be on a Bez then. Bottom of Gimel Bez, right? So I forgot who it was. Someone said a Svara there should be 5 Dayanim. Rebbe? I forgot. And Rabbi Abba who was Megadeh Behu. Megadeh Behu is a pretty strong, Rabbi Abba often says Megadeh Behu. He's often one of the ones. So he had a way of expressing himself, but it was very fiery. It's a very fiery way of responding. So I don't remember if Rav Torsi said this in Shir or if it was in a Q&A once. Someone asked a similar question about how the Ravid could have such strong Lashonos against the Rambam. You know, I should hit him over the head, or, you know, Mutav that he would, whatever. Anyways, so you have so many strong Lashonos. How could you talk like that about another, never mind another Rav, anyone? How could you talk that way? So, Be'emes in the Chavetz Chaim has a Chavetz Yalag has a truth about this. That a lot of the times in Tanaim, in the Amoraim, you find the arguments where they say, I forget who these people are right now because I didn't look at it, but one of them, they call him a karnuna, right? He's a cold fish. Like they would poke fun all the time. They'd make fun of each other. When they had a disagreement, they would make fun. They would call each other names. So what's pshat with that? So the Chavetz Yair has a truth about this. At a time, I think Rav Twersky quoted from Revelvel that Amita Shel Torah demands a response. So it's not that the Ravid was angry at the Rambam and he had a temper and he didn't have a good filter and therefore we ended up with, you know, I'm going to throw your carbon pesach on the ground. No, it's that Amita Shel Torah demands that as strong as your argument is, it be expressed in the words that you express it with. Now, you and I don't have a level of tzidkus and don't have a level of Amita Shel Torah to stand up for Torah that way. But if you're the Ravid, and if you're the Rambam, and if you're Rav Gamliel, and if you're Rabbi Abahu, so you're Megadif Behu when something is a Krum Svara. It can't just be that you say, no, respectfully, I disagree. It has to be clear that you're Megadif Behu. It has to be clear that this is to you. This is a repulsive Svara. This is disgusting. It doesn't make any sense. There's no offense given, no offense taken. But that's Amita Shel Torah demands that. So a mushal, permits us for what we're talking about here. That Rav Gamliel's Shita was that, yeah, there was Halbanus Panim. But Habanas Lapanim, Habanas Panim is a cost of making sure Amitah Shatorah is observed by everyone around. Yeah, the B'shaito of Tversky said a different pshat. He said, it could be, and this is very Mduk in the Gemara, it could be that this din of Ein Ma'avrin Elab Mizumanim La wasn't so mefursam. It wasn't so well known. And because of that, Rabbi Gamliel sort of was understanding that there probably was someone in the room who was extra and didn't even realize that there was such a din as Mizumanim La. So he heard that, oh, there's a rabbi party. I'll go to the rabbi party. So he shows up and he didn't know that you weren't allowed to come. He didn't know it was only invite only. So, but Rabbi Gamliel was saying, it's not going to be embarrassing. I mean, he didn't know the din. Like, it's fine. No one did anything wrong here. If he knew only Mizumanim and he came, he crashed the party and he wasn't supposed to be there and you kick him out, that's embarrassing. The guy Pasha didn't know. It wasn't a famous din. So he said, whoever came, by the way, there's like this is like an inside thing. You can't be here right now. So he thought it wouldn't be so embarrassing. Okay, Shmuel Katan went above and beyond and said, no, I got to save him from even the mixus of embarrassment. But he didn't think it would be so embarrassing. But you see, it's Meduyak in the Gemara, right? Because how does Rabbi Gamliel respond? Shmuel Katan gets up and says it was me. And Rabbi Gamliel says, no, sit. And then what does he say? You're right to be ma'abra all the shanim in the world. Elamai, there's this din that ain't ma'abra el mizman la. What do you mean? Why are you explaining it to him? Of course he knew that. Elamai, no, it wasn't such a famous halacha. And if it wasn't such a famous halacha, he didn't think it would be so embarrassing. Shmuel Katan went above and beyond and tried to save the guy from embarrassment. So, again, draws them a little bit closer together. I'm going to wasn't trying to embarrass anyone. Doesn't work so great with the next Gemara. Wasn't so famous that you shouldn't talk to someone without brushing your teeth? What does that mean? That's, I think, it's well known. It's well known. That you're supposed to have proper hygiene and... So what does that mean? So it wasn't well known and Rabbi Gamliel didn't think it would be embarrassing? So the Marsha deals with that, right? The Marsha says, no, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for whoever was Ochel Shum to be kicked out of the room for having garlic breath. But Bittel Torah. Yeah, Bittel Torah is so chamer. It's so chamer that even if it's going to embarrass someone a little bit, now, Rav Tversky tells a story, not in this context, but Rav Tversky tells a story about, it was during a shmad, and a Jewish couple, decided they're going to give in. There was too much pressure to be frum, it was too hard, so they decided they're going to shmad. So they went to the Christian's, the priest's office, and they were waiting outside, and there was a long wait. So they were sitting there, and the husband was doing Shnai Mikra. So the wife said, what are you doing? We're here to shmad. He's like, if we have to shmad, we're going to shmad with Bittel Torah. Hey, Bittel Torah is very chomer. It's hard to trump Bittel Torah. But apparently, Rabbi Chiya disagreed. That's what the Marsha says. Rabbi Chiya disagreed. Lo teiz kazos b'Yisrael. That we're going to have Bittel Torah and Avon Chomer is a chay gadol, okay. But to be mevayish another Jew, that's much worse than Bittel Torah. So if the two go up against each other, so you have to go with, you have to err on the side of caution and lose some time for Torah in order to save someone a lot of embarrassment is the right way to proceed. This happened halach l'maisa in the Beis Medrash the year we were learning Sanhedrin. So there was a speaker, a Jewish person who, I don't remember who it was, who came to yeshiva to speak. And they wanted that the guys from the Beis Medrash should go hear this person speak during Seder time. It was not shaykh. Like, it wasn't Torah dik. It wasn't something that anyone was interested in. And it was right in the middle of Seder, in the middle of Choref. It wasn't like, it wasn't special time or anything. And one of the Rebbeim came over to Rav Tversky to ask if they should take their shir or not. And Rav Tversky pointed this marsha. And he said, it's Bittel Torah, but it's to save Halbanas Panim. This person's going to have no one in the lecture. So that's embarrassing. So you're going to lose a little bit of Torah to save another Jew embarrassment. So that's a cheshbon. I don't think that meant not every person from every shir went to the lecture. It wasn't the psak that everyone had to go. But the point is that the person shouldn't be so embarrassed. Yeah. Yeah, but one very important, the most important thing I think comes out as a Gemara, especially from the Hemshech of Gemara, is that you see that the same way that in halacha and in learning, in derech halimud, you need limud, and you need masora, and you need shimush hamdei chachamim, that's true in midos also. That to know that halbanas panim is kishvichas damim, to know a pasuk that the person should rather be mapalas melokiv shana eish, okay, so that everyone here knows halbanas panim is chamer. And to know bittel Torah is chamer is something that's easy. Everyone here knows bittel Torah is chamer. But when those two are at, what's it called, loggerheads, whatever, when they're up against each other, how you decide between the two of them, so that's that needs a shimush, that needs a masora. It's not simple just to know two things are chamer and therefore you figure out to avoid all in your whole life. Sometimes they're at odds. How do you learn that? So you have a maisa in the Gemara, or a Gamliel and Rabbi Chiya have an argument about this. So you have rebbeim on it. You have people who express the values on both sides and then tell you how to weigh those values against each other. But you need limud, and it needs masora, and it needs a shimush. Otherwise, you're going to be lost in mitos. You can't just, it's not easier to be a tzaddik than it is to be a talmid chacham. You have to learn how to be a tzaddik also. It comes out even more from the rest of the Gemara, where the Gemara basically says, where did he learn it from? Where did he learn it from? Where did he learn it from? We're quoting psukim, we're quoting stories. Meaning there's a mamasha, a kabbalah, on how to act in these situations. A kabbalah, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. You look in the Gemara, it's not really right? When you say, Shechani ben Yechiel learned it from Yoshua. He didn't learn from Yoshua, right? He learned it from Kadosh Baruch Hu in the story of Yoshua. Same thing with Moshe. Ad ana me antem is Kadosh Baruch Hu saying to Moshe and Aaron. But in those stories, all the way back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to learn from people before us how to act in any given situation. It needs a limud. Yeah, Takadis Gemara Yud Aleph says Shechani ben Yechiel mehecha gamr lam Yoshua. Dechsev ayom Hashem Yoshua kam lecha lama. I don't know the nekudas here. Lama ze atan nofa panecha chata Yisrael. So Yeshua says, Amar Lefana, Yeshua says, Ribbono Shel Olam, mi chata? Who's the one who did this? Who was Moel? Amar lo, v'chi delator anilach. What am I, a gossip monger? Or what am I, we'll see what Rashi says, delator. Hatal Gorlos, go figure out through Gorlos who the person was that violated the Chayram. So Rashi says, delator means Rachel. Baal Ashnara, someone who spreads gossip. So what? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding, Yoshua, you want to know who is Moel B'Cherem? So don't ask me. You want me to master on this guy? You go figure it out yourself. Go be Matal Gorlos, and you'll figure out who was the one who committed the Avera. Yeah, what does that mean? So you see from here that what? Even if Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, everything's going to be found out in the end. People are going to know, Yoshua's going to find out just as well that it was Achan. But even so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to be the one to tell you. I don't want to be the one to tell you. Go find out on your own. So is that Halach L'maisa? So the Chafetz Chaim quotes this Halach L'maisa in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Yud, Sif Beis. In Klal Yud, Sif Beis, the Chafetz Chaim tells us all the Tanayim, the conditions on how to tell Lashon Hara L'Toelas. Not Lashon Hara, how to tell something L'Toelas. So there's, something close to 10 conditions that have to be met. So one of them, 6, something like that, is that if a person is able to arrange it in such a way that he's asked a piece of Lashon Hara, that it is Toelas. It has to be told, it has to be expressed. But there's a way for the person who's asking to find out from someone else or some other fashion, so you shouldn't be the one to tell it. Why should you be the one to tell it? And the Chafetz Chaim there, in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, references our Gemara. He has a few other Gemaras also. It's interesting. There's a few other Gemaras in Nezikin, where he thinks this is... one's in Yibamos, but I'm saying in the Sugis of Nezikin, where he thinks this is true. But he thinks this is the din, that you shouldn't give up the person or give up the Lashon Hara yourself. You should let it come from some other source. Let it come from some other source. But the whole din is Tzarachiyah, no? Manashach. Yoshua's going to find out. It happens to be he's also going to find out like the Gorlos. Who controls the Gorlos? So he's going to find out from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But regardless of that, Yoshua's going to find out. So really, my ichbaslan, like who cares how he finds out? Why can't you, or in that case, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, be the one to share that piece of information? So because of that, some of the super commentaries really do knock off this din entirely. The Moshe Kaufman, who anyone here went to KBY? I think he used to give chaburas in KBY. That's what Matt Lubin told me. But he has a amazing sefer on Chafetz Chaim called Zera Chaim. I haven't looked in a long time, but I think it's I forget which part of it's called Zera Chaim, Shvile Chaim, and something else Chaim. There's like 3 sections to it, but I think the whole thing he called Zera Chaim. So in the Shvile Chaim section, wherever that is, it might be a footnote. So he makes this ha'ara. What are you talking about? That it's the guy's going to find out anyways the information. So the Shvile Chaim says that it's a midas chasidus. A midas chasidus, if you want to avoid being the one to reveal the information, that's a good midas chasidus, but you can't paskin that halacha l'maisa, that's the ikar adin. They just published last year the sefer Ma'ane Lashon, which is Rabbi Hillel Zaks's commentary on Chavetz Chaim, grandson of Chavetz Chaim. So, great grandson or grandson? Grandson. So, he literally every other page argued on the Chavetz Chaim, which is so interesting. But he is, it's lumdish, it's like a nice safer, but also he argues a lot. He really, I mean, I haven't read through the whole book, but I only read every other page. And he argued. So so here too, he argues on his grandfather, the Chavetz Chaim, and he says Pashat that if it's a toeles, it's not lashon hara. This is we'd have to take another chabur to talk about this, but it's meduyik in the Rambam in a lot of places. It's not as meduyik in the Chavetz Chaim, which might be the answer, but it's meduyik in the Rambam in a lot of places that the isser of lashon hara is not an isser of nezek. It's not an isser of nezikin that you're not allowed to damage someone else with your words. Even if no damages would come about, it's an isser of deos ros, or midos ros. That's why the Rambam has it in Hilchos Deos. In Perek Zayin Hilchos Deos is Hilchos Lashon Hara, not in a section of Nezikin, because the Rambam thinks it's an isser of deos, midos ros, expressing a terrible midah by speaking Lashon Hara. So when it's a toeles, the pshat in the Rambam is not that it's duchuya, even though it's an isser Lashon Hara, you're allowed to do it l'toeles. The pshat in the Rambam for Lashon Hara, the toeles, is that it's not Lashon Hara. If it's toeles, if it's for the betterment of somebody, then it's not something that's a bad midah. You're not doing the wrong thing. You're doing the right thing. It can't be wrong and right at the same time. It's correct to say Lashon Hara right now. So it's not Lashon Hara. It's a toeles. It's not Lashon Hara at all. So based on that, Rabbi Hillel Zaks just doesn't like this din at all. How could it be that you would say it's a toeles, but you shouldn't be the one to say it. Someone else should say it. Why not? It's not Lashon Hara if it's a toeles. It's not Lashon Hara. It's totally permissible to say. It's just words. It's just regular words. It's Lashon Tov. So because of that, he just rejects the Chavetz Chaim. He says all the Chavetz Chaim's writers are wrong, and he says, and this is his svara why. Yeah, I don't know, maybe the pushback is, for the Chavetz Chaim side, maybe the pushback is, I thought this before I saw Rabbi Hillel Zaks put words to the Tain on the other side. The pushback I thought was true independently, but now I'm saying it as an argument to what he said. I don't know, it's a day of rough to say Lashon Hara. It's bad midas. But then it's a toeles, so it's not bad midas. But let's say it's a toeles for me to say Lashon Hara. It's a toeles really for this Lashon Hara to be heard, let's say. And I have two choices. Either I could be the one to say it, or the guy next to me could be the one to say it. Or, I don't know, whatever. The guy could open his email and find out without me, without anyone saying it. So, you're right. It wouldn't be so bad for me to say it, because he has to hear it anyways. But if I know there's another option, if I know that the guy could be Matal Goralos and find out, if I know he could open his email and find out the same information, so why do I have to be the one to say the Lashon Hara? And if I am the one to say the Lashon Hara, even if all the other conditions are there that the Chavetz Chaim lists and my intentions are good, but doesn't it represent the epis a little bit that I'm going above and beyond to say Lashon Hara? So again, the argument is not Lashon Hara. It's not Lashon Hara if it's a little toeles. But if I have another choice, maybe that takes it back to, well, why do you have to be the one to say it? If you have to be the one to say it, maybe there is a shtikla midara in being the one to say it. So maybe that's what the Chavetz Chaim intends when he says that this Gemara, our Gemara, V'chidal Torah Nilach, is really a raya, halacha l'maisa, not just a midas chasidus, a raya that you don't want to be the one to reveal it if there's another option. It comes up halacha l'maisa, there's Sefer Shailos Tshuvos L'chafetz B'chayim. I think the author's name is Rosner. So he has a shaila about a mashgiach in yeshiva who hears that in the yeshiva the people are up very late in the dorms, and some of the serious bachrim are trying to sleep, and some of the less serious bachrim are up late making noise. So the serious guys have trouble falling asleep at night. And it's causing issues in the yeshiva. So he goes to the talmid of yeshiva, and he says, tell me who are the ones making all the ruckus at night, and tell me who they are, and I'm going to take care of it. So it's Lashon Hara. Well, it's a toeles. It's good for the yeshiva that we should hear the Lashon Hara of who it is and stop the problems. So what do you do in that case? So in this tshuva, in this Shalosh Tshuva Sefer, so he says that really, really, we should look at this halacha. V'chidel Torah Nilach. It's true that it's a Lashon Hara L'Toeles, and the Mashgiach does need to find out who the people who are making the problems are, but what could he do instead? He could camp out for the night. The Mashgiach can come for the night and sleep in the yeshiva, and he'll find out who's making all the noise. Why do I have to be the one to tell him? So he clears this, and he basically ends by saying, and this is very, very halacha mice in a lot of cases, he says, the Tosim Psachim An Chaf Hei, tell us that the gether of e-efshar, when it comes to Yisur HaHana, the gether of e-efshar is the low efshar below tircha or something, below tircha gedola, that it's impossible to do the following thing without a big tircha. Meaning, just because something's possible doesn't mean that you have to choose that route instead of sharing the Lashon Hara. If it's e'efshar ela b'tircha gadola, b'torach gadol, if it's impossible unless you jump through hoops and stretch like crazy to make it happen, that's also considered e'efshar. So to make the mashgiach camp out in the yeshiva, and maybe that night they won't be there, they'll be out for the weekend, so they won't be there, so then another night have to come and he has to stay up late and ruin his day, that's a tircha gadola. For the yeshiva to function normally, and for the mashgiach to function normally, you need that these boys give up the person who's causing the issue. So that's a tircha gadola, that's e'efshar, and because it's e'efshar, then it's not the it's not a case of delator, it's not the case of, oh, it's efshar b'lav hachi. No, no, you have to be the one to do it, otherwise the yeshiva can't function, the mashgiach can't function normally. Very, very halacha maisa in schools. In schools, you have one person, let's say Fishman's making issues in the school, and the principal wants to send a note home to the parents. So, okay, but if a principal, especially with a guy like Fishman in the school, he's going to be busy all day writing notes to parents about behavior issues. So instead, he says the secretary will send the note home. Secretary's going to send the note home. Now she's going to find out about who's causing issues in the school. Why should Mrs. Gorman be privy to know who's causing issues in the school? Isn't that Lashon Hara? So the answer is, yeah, it's Lashon Hara. It's Toeles because the parents have to find out, but it's Efshar B'lav Hachi. Let Rabbi Safran write all the notes. The answer is that a school can't function that way. A school can't function that way. That's not Efshar. That's not normal. So a secretary has to send that note home. Some of the posts can talk about maybe there should be, the secretary should write all the notes, but then the principal should write in the name on top. But it's not normal for a school to function that way. It's just, it's ma'akev the whole process. And I heard this from Rav Twersky, and I saw Rav Schechter says this as well. It's not a normal way to run a school. And even in terms of our halacha, v'chi delator anilach, it wouldn't apply, I think, in those situations. Rav Meish has a tshuva. He actually has two tshuvas, but he has a famous tshuva where he talks about if someone, however, let's say someone put a, I don't know what pranks people, the last prank I remember from high school was the teacher left the keys on the table, his keys on the table, whoever it was, took the keys and threw them onto the flagpole. So the keys were hanging from the flagpole. So now everyone knows who did it, everyone saw him do it. So the teacher comes back and says, "Who did it?" And nobody wants to say who did it. So he says to the students, "You better give up who did it. It's not right. He has to get punished for what he did." So should the teacher do that? And second of all, should the kids give him up? So whether the kids should give him up or not, we just spoke about a little bit. The age of the kids may or may not matter as well. It's a question of whether there's an Isser Lashon Hara on a katan. But the Rav Meish has a tshuva where he says his teacher really shouldn't demand that of his students because that's being margal them in Lashon Hara. Here's a toeles. Okay. So if it's a really, really oppressing situation, then you have to, what are you going to do? But if it's not so important, then you shouldn't be ma'agal them in Lashon Hara. Other poskim disagree and say, you just start by saying, I know there's an Isser Lashon Hara. Elamai, in this case, we need to make sure that this person learns his lesson and that I get my keys wherever they are. So you got to tell me who it was. And if you teach them that this is not an Isser Lashon Hara, that's also chinuch. Teach them what Lashon Hara L'Tuales is also chinuch. That's a debate in the poskim. Rav Meisha was more machmir about that, but he probably would agree, depending on the situation. Okay. The Gemara here in Sanhedrin Yudah Aleph continues, Tanur Rabbanu, Misha Mesin Nevim Ha'achronim, Chagah Zechariah Malachi. Very good books. I highly recommend them. Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael. So when they passed away, when they deceased, so there was no more Ruach HaKodesh in the Klal Yisrael, Al-Bafu Pichein Ha'yu Mishnam Shem Baskol. In Tosus, in terms of what Baskol, it's the Maritz Chiyas. Fine. Yeah, from Rieta, this Gemara is very meduyak, actually. Very meduyak. We regularly think of two, right, Per referenced this in his Thursday Chabur, two different types of experiences, Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. So Nevuah means prophecy, and Ruach HaKodesh means a spirit, a divine spirit. That's sometimes it's as small as an inspiration, sometimes it's more than that, and you could write Ksuvim. More Nevuchim, Chilik Be'ez, Perek Memhei. Has all the different dargas split up. As was mentioned, I think, on Thursday. So this is very good, the Gemara, right? Because Mishamesu Nevim Ha'achronim, Chag Zechariah Malachi, Nistalka Nevuah Mi'Yisrael. Obviously, it was Nevim Ha'achronim. When the last Nevim died, Nevuah didn't exist anymore. Pashut. That's obvious. No, the Gemara says when the last Nevim died, even Ruach HaKodesh left Klal Yisrael. We didn't even have Ruach HaKodesh anymore. Ruach HaKodesh is a lower level, and you could have thought that it remained after Nevuah was taken away. And they're two different things, Nebu and Ruach HaKodesh, but no, Nistalka B'Vasacha, simultaneously they disappeared from our world. Yeah, but it's really not so Pasha, because if you go to the Gemara in Bav Basra and Yud Beis, so the Gemara there says, Amar Rav Dimi Dimin Chaifa, Miyom shechar of Beis Hamikdash. From the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, this is going to be the first issue. From the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, nitla nevuah min haneviim v'nitla chachamim. Nevuah was taken from the neviim and given to the chachamim. Atu chacham lav navihu. What do you mean? Chacham never had nevuah. No hachakamar. Afal bisha nitla min haneviim. Even though once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, the nevuah was taken away from neviim. Min hachacham lo nitla. Chacham still had nevuah, and then the Gemara goes into chacham adif mi navi. Nevi levav chacham. So here the Ramban quotes Rashi's Pshat. He has problems with Rashi's Pshat, and the Ramban says as follows: Afal pisha nitla nevuah hanaviim shu amare v'chazon. Even though the concept of nevuah, meaning a vision, a dream, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the future, etc., was taken away, neviim don't get that anymore. But nevuah hachachamim, the type of nevuah that chacham have, shehi b'derech hachachma, which is it's a sort of elevated wisdom. It's a higher level of intellect. That's lo nitla. That was not taken away. Rather, they're able to tune in. They're able to link up with what's emes from their kishkas, from their guts. They're able to be mechaven to the emes. So there's some sort of, like the Ramban says himself, there's some sort of ruach hakodesh that still remains by the chacham, even though nevuah was gone. So two kashas. One, our Gemara says, when was nevuah betela? Chagai Zechariah and Malachi. That's at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Preceding and in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So they died well before the Churban, a couple hundred years before the Churban. The Gemara Bava Basra says that the Nevuah wasn't taken until the Churban Bayis Sheni. So how do you get those two dates put together? I don't know. So there's a Me'iri here who says on Yud Aleph, in our daf. The Me'iri says that Nevuah stopped by the time of Chagai Zechariah and Malachi's Misa, but Nevuah She'ena Gemura still existed, some quasi-Nevuah, some less consistent Nevuah. I don't know. It's hard to understand what he means, but that is the Kasav HaShlishi, whatever, something. The other Kasha, though, is the Ramban himself. So he says even after Nitla Nevuah, there still was this Ruach HaKodesh that was by the Chachamim. But our Gemara says Nitla Ruach HaKodesh. Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh once the Nevi'im died. So we pointed out not just Nevuah left, but even Ruach HaKodesh left. The Ramban saying, yeah, there's still Ruach HaKodesh. What is it? Which one is it? Is Ruach HaKodesh gone also? So again, here too, I don't have a concrete answer, but the obvious answer is that there's some in-between zone. There's some level of Nevuah that's Nevuah, and then there's other dargas of Nevuah. Then there's Ruach HaKodesh, and then there's this Sod Hashem Liyarei of Dika Ruach HaKodesh, which is all Chachamim are able to tap into. But it's not really Ruach HaKodesh in the most intense sense. And that outlasted, that outlived Chagai Zechariah Malachi, and that even outlived the Churban Bayis Sheni. That lasted for a long time later. You do find, again, it's impossible to compare the terms, but just so you know, you do find the term Sod Hashem Liyarei in the Rishonim and much later about contemporaries. So there's such a concept of having some divine inspiration and also divine ability to be mechaven to Emes and to Amita Shel Torah, even past the generations of Chagai Zechariah Malachi and the Churban Bayis Sheni. So how to name the baby, how to say exactly what level Ruach Kodesh, what level Ruach Kodesh, no, I don't know. But obviously something along those lines is the answer. It's Yadua B'Shem the Vilna Gaon. The Meshech Chachma quotes this in Parshas Bahaloscha, that we lost the Nevuah at the same time as the Anshei Knesset Gedola, the Gemara in Yuman Samach Tes, that the Anshei Knesset Gedola were Horig, they killed the Yitzhar of Zara. That when they killed the Yitzhar of Zara, so the ability for Nevuah was also done away with that day. It sounds like it's a tit for tat. It's a payoff. It's the two kind of went hand in hand somehow. So the Meshech Chachma has very gishmak pasuk in Zechariah that he thinks says this explicitly. He thinks he's almost the source for the Vilna Gaon. Uldaiti kavanaso el divrei pasuk in Zechariah yigimel beis. V'haya b'yom ahu ne'um Hashem, achris es shemos ha'atzavim, v'lo yizachru od. I will destroy the Avodah Zarah. V'gam es hanavim v'es ruach atoma avir min aretz. And the two, hand in hand, the two will be taken out of the world, Nevuah and Avodah Zarah. So, perhaps a smuchim or a source for what the Vilna Gaon says, the Mesh Chachma has. What's taka the connection? What's the pshat that Avodah Zarah being gone, therefore Nevuah is gone? So, unfortunately, I didn't think of this on my own, because this is Gishmak, and I probably should have thought of this. But Rabbi Yitzhak Sender, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in Chicago, so he has a sefer called Beis Shraga. You find different versions, sometimes called Machzeh Elyon hyphen Beis Shraga, sometimes called Beis Shraga, but either way. So in there, he has Ha'ara. He says the Pshat is Al Derech L'Rambam Perish Mishnayis that we spoke about 3 weeks ago, so we should have thought of this on our own. But we spoke about, over there, when we spoke about Nevuah L'Tova, Ein HaChazeres, Nevuah L'Ra HaChazeres, so we spoke about how the whole background, if you read the Psukim, and then if you read the Rambam in Perish Mishnayis, you see the whole background, the whole, almost the reason that we have Nevuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Nevuah, is because by the non-Jews, they have Hovrei Shamayim, they have Hogim, they have all these people who are telling you what the stars say, Chozim, and it's they're able to see the future, they're able to know what's going to happen. So we shouldn't take part of all the Avodah Zarah, quote-unquote, you know, Nevuahs. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that place, that's what the Pasuk says. Instead, Lokain for you, you guys are going to have Nevi'im, who actually get it right all the time, who are Mechavin to what the future is going to be through Nevuah. So, and the Rambam says the whole reason, really, was to combat, you know, utilizing Hovrei Shemayim, etc. So, Nimseis, on the flip side, that once Chazal, once Ashkes Nagdola, killed the Yitzhar for Avodah Zarah, there's no Sheiches to trying to chase after Avodah Zarah practices or the other occult practices that are related to try to find out what's going to happen in the future through them. No, we're not interested in that anymore. So then why do you need Nevi'im anymore? The whole Nevuah was built on the point that there's Avodah Zarah that you're going to chase otherwise. Now we're not going to be Doresh Asidos through over the Avodah Zarah because we don't have Yitzhar for that. So we don't need Nevuah anymore either. So he says this... this connection, thought it was very very sharp. He quotes in a footnote that in Michtav Meliyahu, Reb Dessler has a similar, I think actually almost the exact same idea from Reb Tzadok, but not built on the Rambam, not built on this background relationship. Just kind of, I don't know if it's Misvara Delay or some other sources, but he has that from Reb Dessler also.
Putting together
Avodah Zarah
with
Kishuv and Nichush, right?
Is that one?
It's not Pashut. It's not Pashut. They're not. You're not over on Isra Avodah Zarah necessarily, right? You're not over necessarily on Isra Avodah Zarah if you're involved in Nichush and Kishuv. Those are separate Yisurim. They are separate Yisurim.
Not necessarily someone's goal in Avodah Zarah either per se. Like, oh, Avodah Zarah, please tell me what's going to be tomorrow. I love that.
Right.
Thank you for the rain you gave me this past month. I don't know.
You're not only asking about the connection, you're saying even the Yetzer Hara Shabbat, meaning the Yetzer Hara from Avodah Zarah is not all, meaning if I took away the Yetzer Hara from Avodah Zarah, I still might want to be Dorish Hasidos by Kisha Venich,
yeah,
etc.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a good Hara. I think that's a good Hara. And he is lumping two things together. I think that historically, for sure, you get the sense from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, but even after the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, historically, and I think you get a sense from the Pesukim also that we quoted, historically, the two were linked, at least practically speaking. Meaning it was a part of Avodah Zarah was being Dorish Hasidos. It wasn't an Isser of Avodah Zarah, and it wasn't that if you had a Yetzer Hara to serve some idolatry, that you therefore also have a, maybe you still have an urge to know the future, or maybe you still don't have an urge, even if you have an urge for Avodah Zarah, those two don't have to be connected essentially. But that the two were linked together. Over the Avodah Zarah were the ones who used Kishuv, Nichush, etc. That was...
The Rambam in historically and how Avodah Zarah started and everything, that's not... They're not doing Kishuv...
The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, you're saying?
Yeah, the sun is doing whatever, that, and now I'm going to worship the sun, but like that's not...
Yeah.
Nothing to do with what's going to be in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that... I think you're right. I don't think that the urge to know what's going to happen in the future is inherently connected to the urge to do Avodah Zarah. I don't know what the urge to do Avodah Zarah is, but I'm saying I don't think they're connected. But it's from the same. They were the same people. They were the same chevra. When there wasn't an urge for Avodah Zarah anymore, there was no shtelling tzu to those people. It didn't exist as much anymore. But I definitely hear and appreciate and like your hara that they're not the same yitzhara. Not the same iser. They're separable. Yeah. The Gemara says, Pamachas hayu mesum ba'aliyas beis gloria b'yiricho v'nasna aleim baskol min hashemayim nis nitna aleim baskol min hashemayim yesh kan echad sheroi shetishra alav shechina k'mo sherabenu ela she'ein doro zaka l'kach. And then that was Hillel nasnina b'Hillel hazaken. And then also yesh kan echad sheroi shetishra alav shechina a few lines later ela she'ein doro zaka l'kach that were nasnina b'Shmuel HaKatan, who was a Talmud of Hillel. Yes, I understand. The previous Gemara told us there was no more Nevuah. Nevuah was Kfar B'Tehila, or even Ruach HaKodesh was B'Tehila. So how could it be that there was going to be someone who was Roish at Tishra of Shechina, that he should be Miznave? After it was already Mevutal? There's no Nevuah anymore. What are you talking about? So in the same Sefer, as Rabbi Sender says, that maybe this comes into the Chiluk we spoke about also that week. Two types of Nevi'im. That there's a Navi who's a Shliach, there's a Navi who's there to tell Dvar Hashem to the world, to motivate people to give Musar, to change, to tell the future, etc. And then there's a Navi La'atzmo who's Kefi Hishtal Muso, because of his perfection, and in an effort to finalize his perfection, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will share information, he'll be privy to Divrei Shemayim. So it's a different type of Navi. The Rambam has them as two classes of Nevi'im. We mentioned that week that the Rambam or Nevuchim says there was not even such a Navi as Shliach until Moshe Rabbeinu. Before that, it was all Nevi'im who were just Lehishtalmus of themselves. So he suggests maybe that's what's going on here too. Once the Yetzer Hara was Mizbatel, and therefore there was no longer a seeking out of the Kosh, you know, the Mechashvim and the Hovre Shamayim and the Hogim Mechozim, and that was all Mizbatel. So there was no more need for a Navi. What do you mean there's no more? Meaning there's no more need for a Navi who's going to tell you the future, who's going to tell you how to act, who's going to help you predict what's going on. But Nevuah, that a person reaches a level where he's so holy and so special that he's privy to information from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that very well could still exist. And Elamai, Doro in Ozak al-Kach. Because there was an impediment, because the door wasn't chashav enough that... Either that means something very mystical, or it literally means... Think of like one day, well, whatever, we don't want to get too far into it. One day in Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Noach, whether he was a tzaddik, bedoro, and that's a shvach, or that's a gnai, but meaning the surroundings impede your progress, or even if you reach the peak of your surroundings, but that's just a lower level than it was in a previous door, so he reached that very high level, that he would have been able to have a nevuah lehishtalmus, nevuah just for himself, but ein dor zak lekach, either because they were an impediment to his growth, and he didn't grow as much as he could have in a different door, or because even in that door, being the highest one, since it was a low-level door, it wasn't big enough to get Nevuah. It's an ikuv of Nevuah. Yes, the Maharshal here is mochik, the words Moshe Rabbeinu, which is mistabeh, right? Meaning, Roy Shetishrael of Shechinah Moshe Rabbeinu? We mean, whatever. You can't even say that. It's a Ikar Emuna. So the Rambam deals with this in Shmona Prakim, in the seventh parak in Shmona Prakim. So the Rambam doesn't change the Girsa. The Marashal changes the Girsa. The Rambam doesn't change the Girsa. He gives some... I don't know. You have to read it inside. I don't understand it when I read it inside. But he gives some pshat in the words over here, where he basically explains as follows. The darga of each Navi was dependent on the level of perfection of that Navi. The better, bigger tzaddik he was, the purer a person he was, the higher level Nevuah he had. And the fact that a person is not perfect, the fact that a person has committed averas, and sometimes serious averas, or has serious flaws, is not necessarily going to be ma'akev his Nevuah entirely, but it will lower the level. It will... sometimes it'll make the Nevuah more ambiguous. It will lower his level from Asbaklaria A to B, C, D, E, etc. And the Rambam tells us some of those instances across history. So you don't need to be perfect, but there's a level of perfection a person has to reach to get Nevuah, and then the more perfect he is, the more he's able to achieve. So with that background, in that context, the Rambam then says, that's what the Gemara means when it says... that these people are Roy Shetishra Shechina Aleihem Kimoshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu achieved his level of Nuva because he was perfect, perfect. He perfected himself completely and entirely. there was no more he could have grown, and that was the level he was at in terms of a human being. There wasn't much more he could do. He was half malach, half human. So Chazal were saying these people in their dor, Hillel and Shmuel and in their respective doros, they reached their potential. Kemosh Rabbeinu. The same way that Moshe Rabbeinu got his level of nevuah through reaching his level of perfection, so too Hillel and Shmuel Katan, on their level, reached their level of perfection, their potential, and you know that Kemosh Rabbeinu, in the sense that they reached their highest level and they were Roish Tishra Shechina. Okay, the Shechina couldn't come for whatever reason mentioned before, but they reached that highest level like Moshe Rabbeinu. But it wasn't Chas V'Shalom to say, the Gemara didn't mean to say that they were going to be Miznabe. You know, becholis, that they're going to be mesnabe lo bechazayon v'lo b'mare. They're going to be mesnabe er ve'omid. Not to say that right. The differences of Moshe Rabbeinu from all the Nevi'im, that wasn't what the Gemara meant. Chas v'shalom. The Gemara meant that they also reached their level of perfection the same way Moshe Rabbeinu did. Still a good shvach. But it's not to say that they would have been like Moshe Rabbeinu qualitatively in terms of nevuah, but rather in terms of the process towards that nevuah. You have to look inside. I don't know. Maybe I said it wrong. I'm not sure. I can't. The words are hard for me in the Rambam there. But if that's the pshas, then I don't know. So then do you wonder? Meaning, so, okay, so Taka, why didn't they get the level of Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu? If they reached the most perfect state they could possibly reach, so why weren't they Nevi'im like Moshe Rabbeinu? Because they didn't want to violate the din of Lokam Yisrael Navik Moshe?
No, because Nevuah was taken away.
But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Roish Tishra Shechina if not for Doro Eino Zake Lekach. Unless your Pshan Doro Eino Zake Lekach is that what, that they lived in the wrong generation?
Yeah, that's what I, yeah.
That's just different Pshan Doro Eino Zake Lekach. Yeah, someone says that? Do you see someone said that?
I don't know.
Eino Doro Zake Lekach means
post that Tkufa.
If they would have lived in a generation of Nebuah, they would have, but still, so then they would have been like Moshe Rabbeinu, you're suggesting?
Right.
We still have to answer that question, right?
Right.
We still have to answer that question.
Then it comes back.
We still have to answer that question.
Maybe they only could have achieved the perfection of Moshe Rabbeinu at a time period where it wasn't going to be Shorela and Shechina to not violate that
thing. Maybe. That's like already a few steps. Meaning the Gemara sounds like they reached that level, Elamai, there was an Ikuv. You're saying they would have reached that level if not for the Ikuv? Yes, I don't know. I've heard of Torah, I don't remember if you think, maybe we learned Shmona Prakim. One year we learned Shmona Prakim. I don't remember when. It was a long time ago. So first of all, you know, even perfection is Dvarim Shein Lamshir. You could have someone who gets angry a lot. He's not perfect. He works on himself, and he never gets angry. So he's perfected that midah. He's not a balkas. But then you know people like this who. Sometimes you see they're struggling not to become angry, and sometimes they're not struggling. Or they're always not struggling. Or they're always struggling. There's different dargas in terms of perfecting midos. A person could have perfected the midah in one way, but there's still a big spectrum in terms of perfection. It's midvarim shein lamshir. So they perfected themselves, meaning they got to that level of perfection where they don't have the bad midos anymore. Okay, but maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was farther along on the spectrum in terms of he killed any Yetzer Hara. He didn't have any of these midos even within him buried deep down. He didn't have it at all. Okay, maybe you have to say that better with the Rambam and Hilchos Deos, but get the point. The other possibility is the Ran talks about the Klar Zechakira, whether in Drashas, whether Moshe Rabbeinu achieved Nevuah commensurate with his Avoda or above and beyond. You remember which Drasha this is? I don't know. Whatever, wherever he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu. He achieved a level of Nevuah commensurate to that of his Avoda. Or, he did Avoda, ad kedei kach tefateh chasereyu me'at me'elokim. He was the Spitz. He was the Bechir. He was the, you know, he was the greatest of all time person.
One of Parsh Baaluska.
What?
One of Parsh Baaluska.
The drushes are on. I don't know which drush that is, do you? Okay. Anyway, one of the drushes are on. So, meaning, because he talks about the Aver, you're saying. So, he reached this, the pinnacle of what a man could achieve. At that level, you're gifted with a certain amount of Nevuah, right? So that was the Moshe Rabbeinu. So then you hear the question. So then maybe if I somehow climb the mountain, this you could say, this the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva says clearly, you could say, a person should always try to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah, we could all be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't mean we're going to have nevuah like him, but we're allowed to try to be a tzaddik like him. That's in the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva in Parakeh. So you could climb that mountain, you can get to the point where you've achieved the highest, the level of achievement, the pinnacle of human ability. You'll get the same nevuah as Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so then it's taka kasha, what's going on over here? But the Ran says it's possible that it's not the pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu reached the pinnacle of heights in terms of a person's avoda, and therefore was gifted with nevuah commensurate to that. Rather, he reached the pinnacle of achievements in terms of tzidkus, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifted him with a supernatural level of nevuah. And even if a person would reach the same heights as Moshe Rabbeinu, halavai, so they wouldn't get the same nevuah as Moshe Rabbeinu. They'd get the nevuah commensurate to their actions, to their avoda, and that would leave them at a lower level than Moshe Rabbeinu. So if that side is true, then that's what's going on over here also. Maybe, again, there's nothing wrong with saying this. It's possible that Hillel was such a tzaddik that he was in the same league as Moshe Rabbeinu. It's possible. Whatever. It's fine. If that's true, it means it was Roy Shetishra Lav Shechina, like we said before, in the sense that the Rambam explains, because he perfected himself completely. Okay, but either because there's still levels of perfection, or because that doesn't then guarantee you get a supernatural level of nevuah, he wouldn't have been a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, but you don't have to erase the Girsa. The Girsa means that he became to the level of achievement like Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore, because of that achievement like Moshe Rabbeinu, deserved nevuah, and the nevuah would have been of a different quality. It's not not a problem with our Gemara. That's how I seem to understand how the Rambam maintains the Girsa. Okay, basically done. Just the Gemara here says the din ein ma'abrim elam kin yirtzeh nasi. I said the Gemara. So the Gemara Yidal says that the Rambam in Kiddush Chodesh Dalad Yibayz quotes this lahalacha. It's a Gemara. The Arama says the reason is asher tikru osam, and we should altikri osam elatem. So he says talar achmana din zeb sanhedrin, and we need that the Rosh Sanhedrin, the representative Sanhedrin, be matsui imahen. Umaskim daito imaim. You need that the Rosh Sanhedrin, the head of the Sanhedrin, the Nasi, should be with the Eilim that's being ma'aber the Shana. So I don't have much to say, but it sounds like the Yad Ramah had a similar orientation, at least to what the Rambam was talking about, right? It's a din in the Sanhedrin. You want the Gadol Shebahem to be with them for the Ibra Shanim. Sounds at least, I don't know whether he had the same malach as that the Rav had in terms of explaining. The, I don't know, but. Sounds like he's in line with the Rambam in terms of the din. Yeah, I had in mind I don't really have anything to add to the Brisker Rav. So, unless people feel like they don't understand it at all and it's helpful to talk about it in Chabura, I may not take time to go through the whole thing. I don't really have very much to add at all. I have one question, but I don't have the answer. So maybe we'll either we'll skip that or you'll voice your opinion afterwards. Just one slight ha'ara. Just if you look in the Rashi here, the Gemara says one of the reasons that we're not ma'abr, one of the non reasons to be ma'abr the Shana is bishvil gozlos shelo pirchu gedim gozlos. So what's the gozlos? What are these birds? So Rashi says gozlos shetzrichim lekine yoldos shevechol arz Yisrael or zavim zavos shekulan mashin kine and alos and la regal. Everyone waits to bring them when they're going up anyways. Af pichin imar malkach. Because they could bring the Bnei Yonah. So he thinks the gozlos, the birds that we were not being ma'abra for, but would have thought to be ma'abra for, are the birds they would use for their kine yolos. The Rambam in Dalet Zayin in Kiddush HaChodesh, Yesh dvarim she'ein ma'abra b'shvilam b'klal, aval osno san sad l'shana, she'tzricha ibor, m'bnei ha'tkufa, m'bnei ha'av v'perzi ilan v'eloheim, Mipnei Hagidim. Just listen to how the Rambam writes this. Mipnei Hagidim v'atzloyim she'adayin lenodu l'oshem ma'at. Mipnei Hagozel shelo parchu. Parchu. Ein ma'abrim b'shvil elu k'dei she'yu Hagidim v'atzloyim mitzuyin l'psachim v'agozel mitzuyin l'ri'ia o l'mishin ischayip m'karban of aval osin osin sa l'shana. So first I'll just make the harder, then I'll just point something out in the Rambam. So the Rambam says the gozels were for something else. The Rambam says the gozels were for the olas ri'ia. O lemishin is chayv carbon oath. So very simply, I mean, zavim zavos yoldos. It's not. It's not a. I don't know. It's a, maybe it's a mina matzah. I don't know. But it's not the, it's not major, it's not a rov dika. We're going to be ma'aber the whole shana because a few people gave birth or because a few people became zavim and they have karbanos they have to offer. So the Or Sameach in Hilchos Chagiga points out from the Rambam in Aleph Aleph, the Rambam's Lashitaso, the Rambam in Chagiga Aleph Aleph says that you can use a an oaf for olas re'ia, but that's the machlokas harishonim. Whether you need a you could need zvachim dafka or an oaf is suffices. You have to look at the Gemara in Chagiga on Tav Zayin with Rashi there. But the Or Sameach in Hilchos Chagiga points this out, and he, the Or Sameach thinks that our Gemara is a raya for the Rambam. That was a little less convincing, but it's worth reading. He thought our Gemara is a raya for the Rambam that that we're talking about ofos for the carbon re'ia, olos re'ia, and not what the Rashi thinks the pshat is. But just minayve and the Rambam dalad zayin. Anyone was anyone omen on this? So the Rambam says there are things that we're ma'abra for and there are things that we're not ma'abra for, but we use them as a sad. What are we not ma'abra for? Gozlos, shaloperchu, gedim, tloyim, etc. What are we not ma'abra on them for? That the Pesachim should be ready for Pesach, and that the Gozel should be ready for the Karban Re'iyah. Rather, we make them asad. So, aside from the fact that it's repetitive, but, meaning, the Ram goes out of his way to tell us the reason, the Havamina. You would have thought to be Ma'aber for this reason, but we're not. You understand? Meaning, if the answer is you're not Ma'aber for these things, rather you use them as asad, so who cares what the reason is that you would have thought in your Krum Havamina, you would have thought to be ma'aber for them. You're not ma'aber for that, so why spell it out? Especially after you already told us, we're not ma'aber for these things. Here's what we would have thought, but we're not. So why does he like go out of his way to explain the reasoning for us? Anyone think about that? It's worth thinking about. I don't know, could you be ma'aber the shana, let's say for a good reason, and then for the Rambam, there's a din of sad. Not like Rashi, the way Rashi says there's a din of sad, the way the prescribed pointed out in the Rambam, there's a din of sad to add to the press release, you know, another reason that you're being ma'aber. So could you say, we're being ma'aber the Shana because of Aviv, Tkufa, whatever, whatever reasons that allow you to do it. And it really would be better for, for spring training to be, how does it go, a month later? Well, depends if you go by lunar, whatever. But anyways, the spring training should be a little bit later. It should be warmer for spring training. Yeah, it should be warmer for spring training. So that's one of the reasons we want to be ma'aber also. It's just a sad. Not really the reason you're being ma'aber, but you'll tell the Klal Yisrael that's why. So is that legitimate to just tell them a reason that you think they'll appreciate even though it's not halachic and not a mitzvah tzorach? I don't know. It would seem that it's not good.
I think once it's not really medina, it's just...
If it's a nothing, if it's tam. Yeah.
Like, the list in the Gemara is just three examples. Really.
So you could have thought just three examples. So they're not really true. You're not ma'aber because of Pesach and because of Gozlos. You're not ma'aber because of that. So why do I need to know? Why does Rambam tell me that there is a havamina? There's a halachic reason. It's because you can't stop make up a random reason that has nothing to do with halacha. It has to be a ksas at tzorach mitzvah. Elamai, we're not ma'aber for it, but you can be matim. You can be mamtik the announcement with that idea. So it's the Rambam meduyek that way that he's telling us that it has to be for a reason, even though that's not the reason that you're ma'aber for. No, I know love.